Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Bismillah wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma alhimna marashida umurina wa a'idhna min shururi anfusina. When I saw the da'wah for the jalsa, a very nice message was written there, that, O Hafiz of Quran, you have now within your heart something which even the mountains could not accept, which was too heavy for the mountains. Which is the boy called? Carry it in. Where's the boy? You better come in front, yeah. Normally when you make a nikah and the guy is not there, we tell the wrong guy you want and he says... So exactly what that message was, but not only he has, all of us have. Allah Tabarakallah has given us within our heart something that the mountains were not ready to accept. Inna aradana al-amanata ala al-samawati wal-ard wal-jibal. Allah Tabarakallah said a trust was placed. If you were going to carry this trust, you would get the best of both the worlds. But if you're going to fail in the carrying of this trust, you would lose. You would become dust like animals. Now you got a choice between, I can try it, but if I fail it, it's Jahannam. And if I get it, it's Jannah forever. Or I can just say, I'm out of the race. I'm not taking a chance. First, this amanat was placed, this trust was placed to the heavens. Inna aradna al-amanata ala samawati wal-ardi. Then it was placed to the lands. Then it was placed to the mountains. All of them were told, we will give you something to carry. It's not going to be easy to carry. If you are ready to manage it and you manage it till death, then Allah will reward you with such enjoyment which will never end. So naturally when you say that, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was then sent and he toured Jannah after its creation. He toured Jannah. Allah Tabarakallah asked him then, what did you see? He said, Allah, I have seen such pleasures that whoever will hear of it, there is no way they will disobey you. No way. Everyone will go towards it. Thereafter, Allah Tabarakallah sent him to Jahannam. And he toured Jahannam. And his answer was the same. Whoever will hear of it will definitely stay back. Thereafter, Allah Tabarakallah put veils. A veil of difficulty was put in front of Jannah. And a veil of ease was put in front of Jannah. And that is what is called Iman in the unseen. Iman in the unseen. That veil is the thing that made everyone confused. But it was that amanat that me and you chose. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ Man said, I'll take it. Man said, I'll take it. The mountains, the earth, the heavens, they are strong. They said, we'd rather become dust. We will serve for the purpose of serving and become dust. Man looked at Jannah. Man looked at Jahannam. Who will ever want to fall in Jahannam? Who will not want Jannah? You ever saw a boy who goes to see a girl? But they tell the girl is smart, but her father is mean. A mean father-in-law. What the boy says? He said, I'll sort out the father. I'll sort him out. I want the girl. So man saw Jahannam. Man saw Jannah. Man said, I'll sort out Jahannam. I'll carry this thing. I will carry it. Innahu kana zaluman jahula. Allah Tabarakallah said, man is very fast to take anything. Very fast. Jahul, in ignorance, many a time he takes things. That I'll manage it. He never first said, what's the catch? Normally when you see that for sale, you see our people when they see buy two for the price of one, immediately they put it in a trolley. They don't look what's the catch. The catch is normally the price of one is half that price. So they put up the price double and they say buy two for the price of one. Our people say just take two. It's always a catch. Vodacom comes out of the new deal. What's the catch? There has to be a catch. Man never saw the catch. The catch was in front of it we're going to put a veil. And for 60, 70, 80, 90 years you will look at that veil. And you will have to every day make that decision to go through the veil of difficulty. That's the trust. The Hafiz, he carried this trust in his heart. The first trust is Iman. All of us took it. Then Iman went with the responsibility to carry this Quran. As soon as Quran enters the heart, it doesn't become easier the carrying, it becomes harder. Because the devil now focuses more on you. For him to pull a Hafiz of Quran into the fire makes him more happy than him to pull a normal. He got certain classes, levels. Like how we have, they say this is your target. You get this goal, you get so much. In the world of the devils, it's the same. To make a husband and a wife fight, that for the devil is like class one. Class one, let's get that. To make a Hafiz of Quran flop, fail. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a man leaves to study the knowledge of Quran. The angels, the animals, the birds, he said, even ants, even fish, everything starts making dua for me. So that, how much dua you got up till now? Dua, dua. Why do you think they were all making dua for you? No. Because they know how much of effort the shaitan is also making on them. As soon as he leaves, the eye of the devil is on and the eye of the entire creation is on. That if he can be made, there's another soldier in the soldiers of Rahman. And if the devil can pull him, then for the devil to pull someone with Quran just makes him so happy. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what I fear even more on my ummah than even Dajjal, al-a'immatul mudhillin. He says that leader will come, he will learn, he will understand Quran, he will become an alim, he will become the imam, he will have so many people around him, and then the devil will trap him. You'll wonder how the devil can trap such a great man with money or with a pretty face with woman. How many people have been trapped? He said, now that imam, because of money or because of a woman, flops, fails. He says, I fear more than even Dajjal, this person on my ummah. Because everyone looks at him with that eye, I trust you. But he already failed. The eye of the devil falls. One veil of ease, one veil of difficulty. This trust which enters within us, this trust of iman, if me and you can carry it, then woman will not affect us. Wealth will not affect us. Rather, woman or wealth. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about the fitna of the devil. He said, it's woman. And then he said, وَخَيْرُ مَتَاعِهَا الْمَرْأَةُ صَالِحَةً. And the best of this world is a good wife, a pious woman. Where one side it was said, your family is a fitna, a trial. On the other side, what a big favor it is for you. Now how is it a trial and a favor? Then he spoke about wealth. He said, last night, what were treasures came? Allah sent for my ummah. What were treasures? First he was speaking about the gold and silver that was going to open. As soon as he passed away, they entered into the lands of the Romans, the lands of the Persians, whatever gold and silver. After that day, Allah was going to give oil. The Arab world were going to be blessed with so much of oil. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw it. He said, what were treasures last night was decided to come from my ummah? You're supposed to celebrate at that time. Then he said, what were trials have fallen on my ummah? He said, who will wake up my wives at the moment? Who will go wake them up and tell them, stand on the musalla? Because when wealth will come, when trials will come, if you got something called iman, and if that iman is strong, It can use that woman, it can use that wealth. And instead of taking you worse, it will make you even better. It can use that wealth, it can use that woman. So the wealth is not the problem. The woman is not the problem. They're the test. But sometimes in a test, one man shines and another man collapses. One shines. This is the test that man took. Where he said, I'm ready for the test. So normally if you're going to fight the match, what they'll tell you? Train. You will train before the competition. You're in the finals already. You're fighting the best of the devil's world. Where normally we'll say, very hard the imtihan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the end of my ummah, Allah will create such people who will be so similar to the first part of my ummah. That when you will look, you will wonder like, who got more better? Obviously the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were the best. But he said that likeness between the two. You will wonder like, so unique, you like the first group. Me and you are sitting in the end of this ummah. You, O Hafiz of Quran, all of us listening. Remember we took at first. So we were told, fight the match now. We entered. Once you enter, there's no turning back. We entered. No turning back. Now if you're ready for the fight, all you have to do is shine. Shine this heart which is called make your muscle. Train. He said, the match is on. You in the finals. The devil is not small. So you will be surrounded by a world of wealth, entertainment, drugs, porn, filth, dirt. But that's the enemy side. That's the opponent. For the man who's fighting it, he looks at it, but he doesn't join it. He also got his own training to do. In his training, he can't be taking drugs. He can't be listening, seeing porn. He can't be entertaining himself. He can't be dying with wealth. He got his own training. Because the match is on. They say, who's your coach? Say, who's your coach? Normally you will have to say, Quran is my coach. The Sunnah is my coach. Nowadays when a person doesn't himself understand Quran and the Sunnah, he will have to say, so and so, Alim is my coach. A certain sheikh is my coach. I need a coach. Because I have to train for the match. So I will give you an example of a person. I thought of speaking of this when he read Surah Ar-Rahman. So I will give you an example of a person who wealth came to him. But because he worked on that trust within him. Because he worked on the trust within him. Wealth never spoiled him. Rather, wealth made him shine even further. Women around him never spoiled him. With that iman, he knew where to go, how to use. Wealth never spoiled, woman never spoiled. So which Sahabi radiallahu anhu had the title of the servant of Rahman? Who was that Sahabi? You know. So his name is Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. The servant of Rahman. So in this jalsa you will remember this. Because after today you have to become like an Abdul Rahman. So his name was not Abdul Rahman. His name was Amr ibn Auf. His father was Amr ibn Auf. And when he was born, it was an amazing thing. Abd means slave. Can understand in that time. Imagine you get a child. And your wife is so happy, I got a boy. And you come and say, my slave. That's how it was. The father named the child Abd Amr ibn Auf. The slave of Amr ibn Auf. Meaning my slave this is. And he grew up there. The slave of my father. Abd Amr ibn Auf. He accepts Islam. Nabi Rasul doesn't like that name. Because he did not want us to be the slave of anything but Rahman. And especially when you don't like to be the slave of Amr ibn Auf, that no one will like to be. When a boy gets married, after a while he tells me, my father-in-law thinks I'm his slave. No one wants to be the father-in-law of the slave, that we know. But when it comes to being the slave of gold and silver, then all of us want to be that slave. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ta'isat Abdul Dinar." That forget Abd of Amr ibn Auf and forget the slave of the father-in-law. He said, "I am telling you, the one who became the slave of the gold coin, Ta'isat, he has gone completely upside down." He said, "He's wasted his life so much that I feel if he gets pricked with a thorn also, no one must take it out." Meaning, as long as he doesn't have good times, it's good for him. Understand this? A man who got wealth, Nabi Sallallahu said, rather he get pricked with a thorn. Pricked with a thorn means you meet a man who got wealth, but something is troubling him in life, you say, better for you. Say, why? He says, because we're scared if you got no thorn pricking you, you will become like Firaun. Just living in wealth. You need one thorn. He said, you want the thorn out first, no longer be the slave of the gold coin. He said, because you went upside down. Allah made the gold your slave, you became its slave. He said, you rather get pricked now. He said, if he gets pricked, may Allah not pull it out. That's good for him. Otherwise, he'll become Firaun. So he was Abd Amr ibn Auf. Nabi Sansan said, I don't like that name. You are Abd al-Rahman. You are the servant of Rahman, the slave of Rahman. Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. You want to talk? You can also give bayan if you want. No. Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu becomes very wealthy. But when wealth enters his heart, he does not become its slave. So I will take you on this journey very quickly, but it's not his journey, it's mine and your journey. Because when I travel in the countries of poverty, Syria, Afghanistan, I found that they don't have wealth, but they got iman. Iman has kept them smiling. Then when I came to the lands of wealth, it's very hard to say you rather give all your wealth away. Who's going to give his wealth away? But Nabi Sallallahu said, wealth can be a very big help. But for who? For the person who got iman. So our problem at the moment is not wealth that we have to give away. It's iman. As long as we don't work on this trust we carry, we'll have to look at our weddings again, at our conferences again, at our entertainment again. We will have to look at how wealth is being used by us. After that, we rather say, either give away all the wealth, because I'm not managing. Or I rather strengthen my iman. If my iman is strong, then that test of wealth, I'll beat it. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, he was one who did it. He was not the slave of wealth. In Makkah Mukarramah, he was already a master businessman. But when the time of Hijrah came to Abyssinia, he left his business because he said, I am the slave of Rahman. He left it. He went to Abyssinia. Then he came back. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent people to Medina Munawwara. He just started making again. He left everything and he went. He's called, I opened the business, I closed it. I opened the business, I closed it. He said, are you mad or what? He said, I'm not the slave of my business. I'm the slave of Rahman. When my Allah called me there, I'm going there. He reaches Medina Munawwara. There's a system called brotherhood. Brotherhood, a muhajir is poor, but he stayed with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam 13 years. And Ansar is rich. He got the garden. He knows the land. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I will join a muhajir to an Ansari. He will teach you your deen. Scholars mentioned this was a unique method. In every family, if you can have one alim, but that alim is then sponsored by the other three brothers or sisters. And whatever we earn, you got a share in the business. We want you to work on deen, we will work on dunya. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi did that. You the muhajir, you the ansari, I make your brothers. Sa'd ibn Rabi'ah. He was so excited, the sahabi. He told Amr ibn Auf radiallahu an, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, that Allah has given me two gardens and two wives. Two gardens and two wives. Now that part you can't do. That you tell that Mawlana Allah gave me two. You look at which one. But at that time, the laws of parda were not so hard. So a brother was a brother. The laws of parda were coming after. So he said, I'll allow you to look at my two wives and my two gardens. Whichever of the two you like, the garden is yours, that wife I will divorce, iddat, it's yours. But he was Abdul Rahman. I am not the slave of woman, I am not the slave of wealth. I can grab a garden for free, who won't grab it? He was not a slave of... He said, may Allah give you blessings in your gardens, give you blessings in your wives. I want you to show me the market, that's all. Show me the market. So Sa'd ibn Rabi'ah radiallahu anhu shows him the marketplace. And he enters the market and he starts doing business. When you are the servant of Rahman, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told a young child, you remember Allah, Allah will remember you. You remember Allah. He enters the market, within a short while he makes so much that he's already able to get married. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees him, you'll only think of getting married when you settle. He says, you got married? Married. He said, how much mare you gave? He gave a good amount. He said, the weight of a date in gold, which was a good amount. He said, then have some walima at least. Tell the people you married. Give something. At least a goat. Do something. Allah Tabarakala now opens his doors. They say, this was that sahabi. No matter how much of his wealth he tried to give away. This is the word they use for him. He tried in his life to give away all his wealth. But he failed. Hear that word. He tried so many times to give away all his wealth, but he failed. Because when he went to Abyssinia, he gave away everything. And he went. And Allah gave him back. Then he went for hijrah to Medina, he left everything. He reached Medina Munawwara, everything came back. Now the battle starts. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, we need wealth. He comes and he says, Allah has given me 4,000 gold coins. I will leave 2,000 for the Muslims and I'm keeping only 2,000 for myself. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, may Allah give blessings in what you have given half your wealth. And may Allah give blessings in what you have kept back. What a dua he got now, even what he was going to keep back was going to grow. So in the last battle, the battle of Tabuk of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this is a hard battle. Many want to go out. There's no animals. There's no wealth. We're going to fight the Romans. He comes and he says, now I'm giving ounces of gold. Umar radiallahu anhu knew how much he earned. So now Umar radiallahu anhu jumped in and he said, oh Nabi of Allah, this is not right. He cannot give all his wealth away. You can't leave your family in poverty. And that's a normal law. But he was above the normal law. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh Abdul Rahman, is it true that you are giving away everything? He said, no, O Nabi of Allah. I'm leaving even more by my family. Even more. Meaning this amount I'm giving, I got much more by my family. Nabi Sallallahu said, okay, so how much are you leaving by your family? And then he said, I am leaving the promise of Rahman that he will give me more than I'm giving. He said, I left that by my family. The promise of Rahman. But this is like, he was above the law. But we hear about people above the law so that we can at least live on the law. He worked on his iman, that's why. That what was the fitna of the world and what is hitting everyone today, wealth. For him it was, every time he tried to give it away, he came back. The fitna became the shining point of his life. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved him so much. And Allah loved him so much. He said, what I left behind, the promise of Rahman is better than what I've given. So they went out for the battle of Tabuk. They never fought the Romans. The Romans never came. But Allah already wanted to thank him. Allah already wanted to thank him. When you will not be the slave of wealth, the slave of Rahman, woman will not grab you, wealth will not grab. But you'll have to work on your iman, you have to work on your Quran. All of us. Otherwise we're all in the fitna. Allah was so happy with what he did. In the battle of Tabuk, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala made it, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was delayed for his Fajr Salah. Hardly ever happened. And they're looking that it's almost sunrise. So finally they decide, let's start the Salah. Who's there in the front? Abdurrahman? Abdurrahman, go. And Abdurrahman ibn Auf says, Allahu Akbar. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam misses one rak'ah. He comes in the second rak'ah. People already start indicating, Allah's Nabi is here. How can you be an imam in front of the Nabi of Allah? How can you be an imam? Abdurrahman ibn Auf pulls back. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam indicates, carry on. He completes the salah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stands up. You are the imam of the Nabi. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finishes his salah, he says, well done Abdurrahman, well done. For Allah has decreed that no Nabi will ever pass away. Except that at least on one occasion, a man from his ummah will lead him in salah. A pious man from his ummah. He said, you are that pious man. That is like, from Allah, you are that pious man. Allah thanks. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is now going for Hajj. He likes him so much. Who will look after the woman? The wives? Usman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu is a son-in-law. So he's like part of the family. So you tell Usman, you are in charge, but Abdurrahman bin Auf was not part of the family. But he said, you and Usman, your job is to look after all the wives. During the entire Hajj, to make sure they looked after, they make sure they protected. He was not part of the family. There's complete parda. But you now trust him so much, for Allah has shown this is the pious man of your ummah. This is the pious man. Abdurrahman ibn Auf doesn't get thrilled, and this is what we're explaining. So much wealth. From Allah, you the pious man of the ummah. Many a time, me and you will have one dream finished. One dream will make pride come in us. A little sadaqah will make pride come in us. Being put in charge of the wives of Rasulullah make pride come in us. But when you work on your iman, and we have to work on it, then wealth will not spoil us. Wealth will only benefit us. Woman will not spoil us. Woman will only benefit. There's so much of goodness in it all, but our iman has to be looked after. We have to work on it. All of us must think, how much am I shining? If I had to be given that dream, how I'll manage? If I have to be told, you now in charge of the wives, how will I manage? Will pride not come in me? For him, pride wasn't coming. One thought came in his mind. Why did Allah's Nabi put me in charge of his wives? Maybe he was indicating that even when I pass away, I want you to look after my wives. That thought now, he was already thinking about that. When your iman is shining, you don't ever, I have a dream. What a wonderful dream. A man whose iman is shining, he doesn't wake up the next day and say, I'm in Jannah. He tells his wife, you know what dream I saw last night? I think you must take bath to me also. He doesn't see a dream like that. He wakes up and he thinks, why did Allah show me this dream? Do I have some responsibility? For him it was, why did Allah's Nabi put me in charge of the wives? He said, maybe he wants that after he passes away, I must look after them. And after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, he really, really looked after them. Every year he would ask, which wife wants to go for Hajj? Anyone indicated I want to go, it was Abdurrahman, said, I'm also going for Hajj. No matter what happened in his business, I'm going for Hajj. Why? Because a wife or the wives want to go, my job to look after them. To make sure they are covered. To make sure there's a cloth. To make sure wherever they need to stop, all the arrangements are done. Point by point by point. His mind started going further. The mother of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Amina bint Wahab. He said, when Allah's Nabi put me in charge of his wives, what about his family? He said, the family of Amina, where are they? He found a garden of his. He sold that garden. He took that wealth, he said, one huge portion is for the family of the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, this portion is for the wives. Aisha radiallahu anha received a portion. She looked at it and said, so much, where it came from?
They said, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, she cried. She said, this man has never forgotten us. She said, Allah's Nabi said to me one day, that in my ummah there will be a group of people who got a unique level of sabr. Sabr means what? Patience. But what patience was this? I'm seeing so much wealth. I want to use it for myself. No, the wives of Allah's Nabi must use it. He said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the sabirun of my ummah will look after you after I pass away. He said, Abdul Rahman bin Auf is that man. How much is giving? He never stopped. On one occasion, Medina Munawwara is now shaking. Aisha radiallahu anha says, so much of noise, what's happening? They say 700 camels of Abdurrahman ibn Auf has entered Medina Munawwara. This was his business. 700 camels. It would come, it would offload. Aisha radiallahu anha says, I remember Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made a dua for him once. Allah give barakah in what you gave. Allah give barakah in what you keep. He says, this is that dua. She says, Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even told me, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he is going to enter into Jannah, crawling. But he's going to enter into Jannah. But crawling was mentioned, crawling. The reason is when you have so much of wealth, although he was not the slave of his wealth, but there is hisab, there is reckoning. You can't run away from reckoning. So in the ending of the reckoning, you get tired and you sit. And then he said, right, no problem, enter into Jannah. He said, he'll enter crawling. Before they offloaded the camel, someone came and told him, glad tidings to you. Aisha radiallahu anha said, she heard Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you in Jannah. Crawling, crawling, you get Jannah, crawling, walking. You in Jannah. He was so excited but so worried. Why crawling? He said, hold on, don't take anything off the camels. He comes to Aisha radiallahu anha. He says, oh mother of the believers, did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam really say I'm in Jannah? She said, yes, he was so excited. He said, crawling. He said, I want to enter Jannah walking, not crawling. He goes out immediately and he says, 700 camels, everything in the path of Allah. Everything in the path of Allah. He would give everything, but everything would come back. He would give everything, everything would come back. When he passed away, his wasiyah was unique. You only are out to make wasiyah of one third of your wealth. In that wasiyah itself, you have to see what he gave to the poor Muslims, to every person who was still alive of the people of Badr, to each wife of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It seems like when he passed away, for each wife, he left like about hundreds of slaves. So much for you. They're all one third. I think now the crowd is a little big, so if everyone can come front, I'll also move front. One saf. You saw Hafiz of Quran, how important you are. No one came for my bayan. They came to hear you reading. So how important you are by them, by Allah, you are so important. I want you to work on this iman. Wealth and women must not spoil our kufas. At the moment in the world, it's spoiling it badly. It's spoiling the ulama, it's spoiling the kufas. I am not protected, you are not protected. We always will ask Allah to save us. Wealth and women. But you have to carry on shining. You have to carry on exercising. You can't just remain neutral. In neutral, our car is going to roll. We'll have to put it in gear and go up. We have to fight this year. So that wealth and woman. Wealth, I explained to you how you can use it for your benefit. You all think here about woman. That if I work on this iman, how I can use woman. So you don't have to get married to all the women to use woman for good. There is so much work amongst the girls. There is so many girls madaris needed. There is now so many drug rehabs for girls needed. There are so many women who are widows who are ready to take jobs. If a man looks after his iman, woman won't be a fitna for him. He will understand how through his wife, through his daughters, to put so much woman in work. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he was in charge of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
But it never gave him that thought also. I wonder how they look. I'm looking after them. Desire never came in him. My mother's there. He worked on his iman that my Allah's Nabi gave me a responsibility. Till I die, his wasiyat was also they must get their share. Even his wasiyat. His family got, his wives got. But he knew he was told to look after the Muslims. Wealth never spoiled him. Wealth, however, spoils me and you. There's an amanat that me and you have taken. We saw Jannah, we said, I want it. We saw Jahannam, we said, doesn't matter, I'll manage. I won't fall in Jahannam. We never asked what's the catch. Now the catch came, that the veil in front. There's a veil in front of Jannah, there's a veil in front of Jahannam. So I will shine my iman in the unseen. And whenever I will see a veil of enjoyment, I will see Jahannam behind it. And whenever I will see a veil of difficulty, I will see Jannah behind it. And the world will see me amazing, always walking towards Jannah. Even if the veil is so difficult. Because they will be looking at the veil, I'll be looking at what's on the other side of the veil. This is called when I shine that iman, iman bil ghaib. It is this effort that me and you need to make. Allah has given us a lot of wealth. And the fitna of woman has opened itself like anything. But if a person is able to shine this, both of it will be what a wonderful aid for your deen. What a wonderful aid. Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anh was blessed with the continuous du'as of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How much of du'as they would give him. Always wealth was coming from him. Always wealth. Aisha radiallahu anha would just cry when she would hear his name. She would just cry. He says, he hasn't forgotten us. He still hasn't forgotten us. Me and you can be blessed with the du'as of widows in the world. There are so many who have lost their husbands because of war. Visit the lands of Syria, Afghanistan. Each woman, she got a family to look after. Her husband passed away fighting for the deen. That woman, if a little wealth comes in her hand, her whole night will be in dua. You can get the duas of the woman of the world. And wealth, he used it. How he used it? For him it was the greatest aid, greatest aid. It gave him the duas of the wives. Wealth and woman must not spoil us. Allah has put it in front of us. Shine this iman. We took up the amanat. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ Man said, I'm ready to carry it. Now be ready for the match. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ يَجْمَعِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ